from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
I'm Boomer Geo, coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Excited for Chapter 2 of the Sims Spotlight here on Boomer and Geo. That's brought to you by Balance of Nature Whole Food Supplements. Visit balanceofnature.com. Saw Phil before the game on the field at MetLife Stadium. I have to say, and normally we start these things with insults back and forth, but I'm going to start this one with a compliment. You look jacked on the field, Phil. I don't normally see you with the arms out, and you had a polo on, and your arms were humongous.
Really?
In a good way. You were jacked, man. Good for
you.
Wow,
you're almost making me humble here. This is unbelievable. You know, somebody, one of my teammates said something, oh, you trying to show your arms? I said, yeah, I said, I'm going to not even lie. I did about 15 sets of curls the other day.
I will say one thing.
I said, yes, I really did. So
I will say one thing, Phil. They were pasty. Man, they were pasty.
Oh, see, you know,
I tried to do a nice thing.
No, he Debbie Downer, jacked. There you are.
Yeah, but,
okay.
But your arms were pasty. Hey, do you believe or do you agree with what Carl Banks said that Lawrence Taylor
said?
Can
we talk a little bit before we get right into the business? I mean,
no,
holy
we got to get right into the business. We got a very condensed spot with you, and I got to get as much information out of possibly can. So
well,
just shut
what
up
you usually do.
Five seconds.
What you usually call me and never give me credit for anything. So shut up. So, right. Gio,
one thing
you said this morning that's right, Gio.
Yeah.
When Boomer gives you a gift, you've got to slobber all over it because that's what he wants. Just, oh, thank you, Boomer. You're the greatest. Oh, thank you. Thank you. And then you really can't thank him enough because he, you know, hell, I don't know. And the sweatsuit, when I saw it, I went, oh, my God, it looks like a triple XL. What the hell do you think of you?
It did well, though.
I saw it.
It's a large, but yes, it did. It looked a little bigger, but I mean, it fits perfectly. And I know it's probably tough for you to see this purple once again after what happened in MetLife Stadium. But yes, wonderful Vikings polo.
All right, so let me get back to the question now that you've distracted everybody.
Question?
The question was,
yeah,
Carl Banks basically said he was talking to Lawrence Taylor because all you guys were there celebrating the 100th season, the top 100 players. It was a great scene for all of you guys. Lawrence was not happy with the way the team was playing and how they looked, and that he could put 22 guys together right now out of that top 100 group that was there and go out and play better than the Giants did. Do you agree with that?
Well, there's certain things to that. One, if he put 22 of us together, we wouldn't even be able to run out for the introduction. So let's be serious there. But I understand what he was saying. Look, on the field before the game, which a lot of us were, and the energy in the stadium and everything like that, then you go upstairs and we're watching a little, and it just falls apart really right before your eyes. It was really disappointing. And, you know, we didn't have any stake in the game, all the ex-players, but it was amazing how everybody kind of took it, not personal, but just going, dang, we thought this was a game the Giants could win. And I thought that too. But as I was watching the game from above, I went, wow, Minnesota looked bigger. They looked faster. And, wow, they are extremely well coached. So I'll give them credit there.
All right, so again, let me ask you about Daniel Jones's performance. He's been getting ripped right. left and right. You know, listen, I questioned the way that he played. I thought that he was nervous. He looked the word yes. I used was skittish. That word was used back to describe Eli Manning back in 2007. Your initial reaction, then watching the tape, your reaction after that?
Well, a little thing, I'm not going to say I couldn't sleep Sunday night, but I couldn't wait. I just wanted to see the game again and really watch it. I got up to listen to Al and Jerry, and I was really disappointed they weren't on TV. I'm serious. It was 10-5. I said, well, I'll watch those two before I, you know, whatever, let me see. And then Al just informed me that he's not on. I didn't know they weren't on TV. Mm. So, Al, I mean, you have no pull, no clout. I mean, they just crapped on you and Jerry both, but whatever.
Well, yeah, what was Phil, the question? Phil, you're not going to believe this. They don't even get paid to do that hour here by the radio station. So, I mean, it's really bad.
Well, you know, Al's not the sharpest thing in the drawer. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know, whatever. But listen, I will say that, Boomer, here. And I heard you say that, and I understand you saying it, too, because that would be the definition of what a lot of people who follow the game would say about Daniel Jones. Me, I thought he was making decisions way too fast. In other words, hey, I'm supposed to throw it right on this play. And as he was dropping back, oh, I don't like it. Let me go somewhere else. And, you know, if he'd have stayed with the original read, I think, and, you know, I didn't put down how many number of plays, he would have had more success. And you hear me say this all the time, and CBS and everywhere. When you're a quarterback in an NFL team, there's a lot of routine throws in the game. And that was one thing, too. I thought the Giants and Daniel Jones, they just missed too many routine plays where the guy's open. It might be a 4 or 5 yard gain, but always remember, well, sometimes they do break tackles and get extra yards. So that would, you know, bothered me a little bit. And you just got to settle down in those games and be more relaxed, like I've heard you say, too. You have to be that way. You know, you look at Sam Darnold. I give him a lot of credit. I thought he played really well, but he never got flustered. He was pressured early. He threw the ball as well as I've ever seen him throw it. They had a great game plan on offense, and I'm going to tell you, the Minnesota defense, they had an awesome plan, and they were ready for everything the Giants were showing them, and they executed it very well.
I guess the thing that I was most disappointed with outside of Daniel Jones and the interception, that the pick six, was the lack of pass rush from guys that I think the Giants absolutely need if they're going to be competitive right. at all this year. What did you see from Kayvon Thibodeau and Brian Burns specifically that was keeping them neutralized in the game?
Well, Brian Burns, like I'm sure all defensive ends think about after games, they go, oh, my God, I was so close. I could have been – He played with such abandon, it was incredible watching him play. And he was close many, many times of, you know, disrupting plays. He did disrupt quite a few plays. There's no doubt about that. And he disrupts it. That's what he is, too, when he came here. You know, I talked about it. I watched him in Carolina. He would disrupt the play, and somebody else would be there to finish it off for the sack or whatever it is. And I didn't see that, you know, from the Giants. Now, Dexter Lawrence, he was fantastic as usual watching him play. I mean, when he was singled up, man, I can't imagine any center that plays the Giants goes, oh, let me single up against Dexter Lawrence, because you lose every time. And so those two, I thought on defense, really showed tremendous effort. And they I thought they played well, both of them.
All right, so let's move forward as we talk to Phil Simms about the Giants right now, and then we'll get to the Jets in a second.
Well, let me say this, too, real quick, yeah. Boomer. The Giants, as you watch the game, they did a lot of shifting, a lot of motion. And, you know, everybody knows Brian Flores, the defensive coordinator at Minnesota. He likes to get after you and blitz a lot and all that. They did not do that. They faked it. They did a lot of different stuff. I'm sure the Giants, I would just think, they were like, wow, we expected some blitzes and give us a chance to throw it deep down the field, which you were talking about, you know, all week, that you thought the Giants were going to fire it down the field, but they really didn't have the chances because of the way Minnesota played. And the two guys they went out and got, Van Ginkel, oh, my God. I mean, he just knows how to play, plus he's got talent. And then who's the other guy they went out and got? Oh, Jonathan Gennard, the pass rusher, another guy. Harrison Phillips, he played so well for him, they gave him a contract on Monday. So, you know, Minnesota really did a good job on defense preparing for
the game. I mean, the other team definitely gets credit. I mean, but this, like we all thought, this was a game where the Giants were in their weight class, everybody seems to be saying these days.
Well, I thought so, too.
Yeah, and unfortunately...
I was standing on the field before the game, I said, oh, my God, there's no way they can lose because the crowd was on fire. And, you know, I said, man, this is going to be tough on Minnesota. And it was a little bit early, but they hung in there, and then they did the better job executing plays.
All right, so much for that. The one thing I will say about the crowd, and you know this because you experienced this as a player, I tried to explain it to Gio that, you know, when you're playing in front of your home crowd and things are not going well, especially in your sixth year and the boos are raining down, you know, in the first quarter and they're coming right at you, and you know that, it's not easy to play with that kind of anxiety. I mean, you feel it as a player.
Yeah, you can, and you know, it's just how do you take it, and how do you feel about it, and what are you going to do? Do you do it by like, hey, I don't care, Parcells would say sometimes, hey, you can't be afraid to go down in flames. So you got to be thinking and playing hard and just keep playing. And I'm not saying the Giants didn't do any of that, but they just never had they never got into any rhythm, especially on offense in the whole game where you thought, oh, they can come back and they can get it done. It just didn't look like that any time watching the games.
So. All right, so here we go. Let me just ask you this now. Next week they go to see the Commanders, and it's Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels had, as Gio pointed out, a very weird game. It was very awkward.
Yes.
There are a lot of crazy things that happened because he is an incredible athlete, but he obviously doesn't understand the NFL yet. This is his first foray into this. You know, he may run himself into some sacks, but if he plays the way that he played this past week, I don't necessarily know he's going to make it past week 2, 3, or 4.
Yeah, they'll learn. They'll learn. And his speed is really, truly, it is incredible watching him play. He might be the fastest quarterback in the NFL. But, you know, he took too many chances running the ball, too. You know, you can't sit there and let him get those free hits on you as you're running. He'll learn that and all that. But overall, what they do on offense, Boomer, is so simple. It seems like every pass is 2 yards down the field, 5 yards down the field, or mostly behind the line of scrimmage. And if he doesn't like it, if it's not super clean and easy to see, then he's going to run. And that's what the Giants, I would think, the number one thing on defense, let's try to keep him in the pocket. Don't overplay the pass rush. And make him throw from the pocket to beat you. If you do that, I think it gives the Giants a great chance to do this. And listen, Baker Mayfield, he destroyed the Washington defense. Mm-hmm. I don't expect the Giants to do that, but, man, they threw it at will. The numbers were great. And Baker Mayfield was tremendous against Washington's defense. And last year, they were terrible in pass defense. And it looks like they could be the same again this year. So we'll see how that goes.
I know you don't like it when, you know, guys like me, you're going to be disrespectful for those who work in the league. So I'll put this kindly. I don't think very highly of Cliff Kingsbury and what he does offensively.
Right.
And they went down the field to Terry McLaurin one time in that game. And Jaden Daniels has got as quick as he is, he also can throw the ball amazingly well down the field. I think Cliff Kingsbury is going to ruin this guy. I mean, am I off base on that with the way that they played offense on Sunday?
I'm not going to say you're off base. No, not at all. But I will say this. It's the first start on the road with a rookie quarterback. So I'm sure I can hear the meetings. All right, let's just be careful. Let's don't give him too much. And let's play really conservative because we don't want it to backfire in our first game and all that. Well, if that was your objective, it really worked against Tampa Bay. So I would expect a more aggressive game plan. And I know what you're saying about Cliff Kingsbury. I kind of think the same way. It's still the college offense. And not that that's wrong, but I haven't seen it work real well in the NFL. So you are definitely on it when you talk about Cliff Kingsbury. But I think this week they know. They're going to go down the field, be a little more aggressive in the pass game.
Yeah, I would think so, especially against the Giants secondary that is not that great. All right, so Aaron Rodgers and the Jets, what are your initial impressions of what you saw on Monday night?
Well, many things. Mason, the running back, I thought I was watching Earl Campbell play for the Houston Texans. Holy Christ. And it was unbelievable. And, you know, the thing about Kyle Shanahan and the Jets had to face, you know, they, even back with his dad, I did many games in Denver. And if you made more than one move as a running back, you were allowed one little cut because it's make it and go. And, you know, you watch the game, and I don't think one run in that whole game where they did anything, where they stuttered their feet or anything. It's a quick little cut and pour it in there. So the Jets, I mean, I was shocked. They had no chance stopping the run. No matter how they lined up, they tried many different fronts. It didn't work. But Aaron Rodgers, that's the big thing. Listen, his arm looked unbelievable. I mean, maybe as good as I've seen it. But the movement, the play selection, once again, very careful, all these things. And, I was just disappointed in the Jets offense. I thought I'd see more chances, throwing it down the field even more than they did. So we'll see what they do this week.
Their defense got shredded, and I understand it's the 49ers and one of the most talented and best offenses in the league. Rob Saleh said that the defense was an easy fix. Do you see it as an easy fix?
Well, yeah, they're not going to play the 49ers again this year, so that's going to help, one thing. But, yeah, I think you can, by different fronts, using more defensive linemen, whatever, just play a little different. But I don't have any words to be concise about that. But I understand what he's saying. It's they can do it, but gosh, that was really tough. And let me say this. I hear you guys this morning. The Tennessee Titans, it's going to take everything the Jets have to beat the Tennessee Titans in their opening game down there in Nashville. I mean, the Titans' offensive line is good. They got players on defense. They got wide receivers now. And I know Will Levis made the bonehead play of the year against the Chicago Bears, but if you take that one play away, he almost played a perfect game for him. And I think he's a different-looking quarterback than I saw last year. Saw it in preseason. I saw it in the game against the Bears. But that one mistake, that was the one that cost him the football game.
Yeah, you talk about taking a step down in offensive weight class. This would be it. I mean, the Titans, while they do have players, and they spent almost $300 million on free agency in the offseason. And I was telling Gio this morning, I said, look, this defense is a really good defense. They still have Jeffrey Simmons in the middle of it, and it's not going to be easy. And the pass rush is going to be good. This is just who they are. But the big deal is that they are taking a step down when it comes to playing against a quarterback like Will Levis as opposed to Brock Purdy, who is the perfect fit for that offense in San Francisco. That's the big difference.
It is. I didn't even say that. I got to say this. Brock Purdy, he didn't play well. He played really well. And Boomer, I don't know if you noticed, I thought he threw the ball with more power than he has in previous years. I thought his decision-making, his placement of the football, all that was tremendous. It really was. But the Tennessee defense, Harold Landry, they got a rookie. When you see him line up over the center of the guards, you're going to go, is that two people or what? it's unbelievable.
It's a first-round pick, yes.
Yeah, their second round, Devondre Swift. Yeah, I mean, he is, and he's a player, too. But they got, the other thing, you think about, can the Jets open up their offense and throw the football? Well, they're going to be going against L'Jarius Sneed and Chinobe Awuzie, who they got from Cincinnati. So those are two really good corners, and this is going to be a really interesting game. The Jets' defense needs to be, to me right now, maybe more important in this game to win it for them than looking at the Jets' offense. Because going against Tennessee's defense, playing down there, their crowd would be crazy. It's going to be a tough way to win a game, but I think the Jets can do it.
What'd you think of Tom Brady's broadcasting debut on Fox?
Oh, man, I did listen to it, of course. I thought he did well. Listen, that first game and learning, I don't care how much you practice. Once you get that game, a little different energy and feelings, and you're second-guessing maybe some of the things you say. But I thought overall he did a good job. And, the one thing I wanted to hear, why is it not working? What did you expect from the Cleveland Browns? Or, what was their game plan? Things like that.
Deshaun Watson is a mess. He plays the position of I don't know how Tom Brady did that game without criticizing Deshaun Watson. I mean, because he plays the game differently than Tom Brady ever played it, and runs out of the pocket for no reason, can't seem to process down the field. And I'll tell you what, man, right now the Browns have buyer's remorse, and it's a $230 million contract that is an anchor around their proverbial I would say, salary cap neck, because not only did they give up the assets to get him, they also paid him this ungodly contract that's going to kill the Browns.
Yeah, well, listen, Tom Brady, in 4 weeks from now, if he had Deshaun Watson play that way, he'll get him. You know, the picture doesn't lie. You know, you got to tell the truth when you're doing these things, and sometimes it's not easy. But, yeah, Deshaun Watson, not the same guy, doesn't have the speed, doesn't have the bounce. His arm doesn't look as good. I know he had the shoulder surgery and all that, but it's like he's just playing mean or angry, and he's not thinking as much as he should. Now, I didn't watch the game in, you know, closely to see if he was making good decisions all the time, but it looked bad on TV, so it had to be pretty bad in the film room, too.
Hey, by the way, we're going to pile into Shea Sims on October 20th, on Sunday, October 20th. We're coming over. We're going to watch the game. You're going to cook for us.
Okay, listen, first and foremost, I'll tell you when you're coming over. You're not telling me. Okay? And, yes, and, well, never mind. I'll just... won't say what I was going to say, that's for sure.
Well, wow, we're coming over,
yeah,
the 20th.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, actually.
Yeah. All right, and, so we're coming over 20th.
Well, okay, I'll look at my schedule, see if that works out for me.
Just so you know that Al Dukes is gluten-free, you know, and he doesn't eat meat.
What? No, no, no.
He doesn't. No, well, we're going to hold him down and make him eat it.
No. Yeah, I do.
What would you like Phil to make you, Al?
Hamburgers are good. Oh, I was like okay. That. Yeah, chicken. Sauce.
Okay. Al, I make great hamburgers.
Oh, okay.
Okay, you're going to love them. That's of course, steak. I do eat, I'm not one of those guys, I do eat meat probably 3 or 4 times a week now, so.
You look like you eat meat now.
That's why he's all jacked.
Yeah, I know. He does look like he eats meat. Hey, by the way, you are gluten-free with the buns and stuff, right?
Well, I don't eat any buns, so no buns needed.
Oh, you want lettuce around your hamburgers?
No, just hamburger and a plate is good for me.
A hamburger and a plate.
I tell you what, Al, I'll feed you, then we'll go downstairs in my weight room and we'll just get you a little pump so, you know, you can wear some T-shirts and stuff or whatever. I don't know.
Okay, a little swole.
How about you, Gio? You want to get down there and get a little pump?
Yeah, I haven't lifted weights since the year 1999, and I'm not kidding.
Good for you.
High school football. So sure, I'll break that streak with you at Shea Sims.
Well, you guys, and listen, you're funny, you do a lot of great, but listen, you're golf. I mean, come on. Man. Oh, my God. Oh, let's play golf. We're going to play golf today. So you're playing today, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So what is the wager going to be? What do y'all wager when you go play golf?
We're going to be playing against two guys like you who are pretty good. Not great, but pretty good. Mm-hmm. And our wager would probably be like a 20-20-40 or a 40-40-80, something like that. Nothing big.
Oh, okay.
It's just about taking a little bit of money, making sure the money changes hands. That's basically what it comes down to.
You got
to
put something on it.
Yep. Yes.
And what's your handicap now, Gio?
It's a 20.4 index. At this place, it'll probably be like a 23, something like that.
Okay. And Boomer, what's yours, you cheating dog? Go ahead, tell me.
8, right around an 8.
Boomer, you are a pro quarterback.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, what are you, 8?
Yeah, you know, I'm
playing. What, are you playing right-handed?
No, man. You know, I just, you know, just the way it is.
Yeah, you like to keep it nice and comfy. I know what you do, but okay.
Good for you. All right, Phil. Great talking
to you.
All right,
guys.
Talk to you next week, man.
All right, good. Thanks for having me on.
Right, see you,
Phil Sims. And that Phil Sims Spotlight is brought to you by Balance of Nature Whole Food Supplements. Visit balanceofnature.com.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And, of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Gio.
Man, that break was so long, I needed some naloxone to wake me up after that. What the hell? God. I feel like we said goodbye to Phil Simms 11 minutes ago. I guess it's a good thing.
Well, we went over with Phil. Yeah, and that's going to happen every time he comes on.
Yeah. I mean, business must be brisk back there in the Bangladesh call center. All right. What's going on, Jerry Recco?
We are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. And also brought to you by Flag and Anthem. Real close for real life. You just had Phil Simms on, so keeping to the football theme. Just a couple of things from the Aaron Rodgers interview with Pat McAfee from Tuesday. In terms of the Jet offense the other night, we know just 21 minutes time of possession to 39 for San Francisco. And he says really, really difficult to get anything going. We will be better, though, going forward.
We didn't have many plays last night. We had, a 12-play touchdown drive. We had some three and outs. We turned the ball over twice within the first three plays of a drive. And then we put together one more, decent drive to score. So it wasn't sustained drives. We were obviously worn on the field a whole lot either.
No, again, 21 to 39 minutes. In terms of getting and spreading the ball around, we were talking about Garrett Wilson, the 11 targets. Actually, according to Rodgers, like, not enough. This guy needs to have the ball in his hands a lot more.
Yeah, we got to get the ball more to G. I think he had, I don't know how many targets he finished with, but probably got up the number.
And finished with six catches, but thinks he should be getting a lot more than that.
Yeah, well, so he started out 4 for 4, and then he was 1 for 5. He had 45 yards in those four receptions and only 7 the rest of the way. And the other one was intercepted that he threw to him. So, I understand exactly what Aaron's talking about, but the only way you're going to get more chances to Garrett Wilson is if you continue to hold on to the ball. So you can't have the three and outs.
All true. One thing from college football, I mentioned this last hour. So Auburn lost to Cal this past weekend. I think it was Cal. Auburn quarterback Peyton Thorne revealed he was bombarded from people after the loss, as you can imagine. So on the Next Round podcast, he was asked about, blocking out criticism after you lose games.
That's easier said than done, because in today's world, they come at you in all different angles. You hear it verbally. That's probably the least one. But, just walking down the street, you hear it sometimes. And then obviously the social media is that hit you on Venmo, all types of stuff.
So your face is exactly the host's face. I'm sorry, did you just say Venmo?
They're coming after your Venmo, Peyton?
They explain that one to me. I've never heard that. Like, they send you cash?
No.
They're definitely not sending cash. Okay. It's funny. When they lose money, they want the money back. But when they win money on a parlay, no one's ever sending any money. So
I guess these people that are betting Auburn, when they lose, they send the requests for money from him.
This is crazy.
Just insane.
We are.
I mean, that's a funny troll job if someone's doing it that way. But of course, if they're serious, then they need to.
I think it could be a little of both. You have no idea. It's a religion in the South, boys.
Well, we're talking about gambling.
No, but I'm talking about football.
I know.
And I am talking about the passion that the football fans have for college football in the South. It is. If you've never been there, if you've never been on the field, you just can't appreciate the intensity of it.
And what's different now is these guys are getting paid.
That's right.
So now people are really coming after them.
Mm-hmm.
They're college players, but they're pros now in a lot of cases.
It's amazing. We would struggle at Maryland. We would sell out 52 to 54,000 a game when I played there. Think about that. And that was a struggle to sell it out. But we had good teams. We had exciting players and good coaches. So people would come. You go to LSU, you go to Auburn, you go to Florida, you go to FSU, Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State.
100,000, right?
Forget it. It's insane. Like, a lot of times at the University of Maryland, unfortunately, a lot of the student body will leave at halftime. And there's a big void in the stadium at Maryland. I don't know what the reason for that is.
Imagine what it was like walking out of Notre Dame on Saturday.
Ooh.
It was in Northern Illinois, right? Northern Illinois?
Yeah.
Yep.
Crazy. All right, baseball last night at the stadium. How about the Royals beating up the Yankees?
Pitch. Perez grounds it up the middle. Another base hit for Salvi. He got him again. Isbell around third. Easily scores. Throw comes in a second. Salvi Perez has two more hits tonight. He's got 5 RBIs in 2 games this series, and KC has a 3-0 lead.
What are the chances this could be a playoff matchup?
Good, I think.
Because Kansas City's number 2 in the wild card right now.
Kansas City is what, 80 and 65 or something?
They're
80
back.
And 66. Yeah, I have it here. 80 and 66.
They're back. We haven't seen them since 2015.
That is true. It's a good team. I don't know that they're going to do any damage in the playoffs. Don't know that they won't, but they certainly did last night. 5-0 was the final. That was Emmanuel Babari on the Fan. Here's Marcus Stroman. He took the loss while you had Seth Lugo taking the win. 7 innings, 3-hit ball, 10 strikeouts. Stroman not stunned.
I mean, yeah, Lugo's been nasty all year. I've played with him. He's pretty incredible. He fills it up with a ton of different pitches, and he pitches pretty aggressively, so he's hard to barrel up.
Yeah, the Yankees had a grand total of 3 base hits in this game. Juan Soto was asked afterwards. They're in a race now for the division with the Orioles, as we know. Baltimore did win. It's a half game. So how much are you paying attention to those out-of-town scores?
We are paying attention to that. We really focus on what we can do here. We're trying to win games, and that's all that matters. We don't care what they do. If they win or lose, good for them, but we focus on what we can do every day here.
I do like that.
Hey, good for you.
That's right. Luis Gil makes the start tonight. Yankees, again, that half-game lead. The Mets, meantime, have fallen back into a tie with the Braves, as the Mets did lose last night in Toronto.
Swung on, line the opposite way down the right field line. It's fair and going to the corner. Varsho scores. Kirk's on his way to second. The throw comes in by Stewart. Kirk stands at second with an RBI double, and the Blue Jays have a 2-1 lead.
And that's Pat McCarthy on Mets Odyssey Radio. That is Al's favorite player in 2024 baseball right there, Alejandro Kirk, with the RBI double, part of a 6-2 Blue Jays win over
that's
the
Al's
Mets.
That's Al's favorite player?
I would characterize him as a top
baseball
five.
Players. Yeah, I love a fat guy who doesn't even slide going in the second. He was just like stand-up double.
He likes his players chubby, he says.
Yeah.
All right, okay.
Baseball players especially.
Okay, that's fine. You like chubsters. That's good.
Davis Schneider had a 2-run triple. The Mets are now 79-66. They, as I mentioned, they're tied with Atlanta because the Braves beat the Nationals, beat them up pretty good. They're also 2 back in the loss column to Arizona and San Diego, who also both won. I wanted to play this because I was surprised by this. So obviously there's a lot going on around the world right now. We know about Israel and all that stuff. And then Russia, Ukraine. Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot going on. So
political stuff with the UN. Right. And the UN is in session this week here in New York, so it's going to jam up traffic and parking and restaurants.
Yes.
Yeah, so we're all affected. Yes.
I'm thinking more of Israel in this case because Patrick Beverley, the former NBA player, is playing in Israel.
Yes.
So my first thought would be, my gosh, that's got to be pretty crazy living over there. This was him on his podcast last week talking about what it's like.
Playing in Israel. Obviously, you know, I wake up, I get phone calls, I get text messages. Pat, you okay? You okay? You okay? And I'm waking up in paradise every day. Every day. The sun is pink when it sets. I'm the city of Tel Aviv, they're giving me private beaches to go to after practice. I sit on the beach for 6-7 hours a day.
He says there's nothing not to like.
The sunset, the people, the food is great. The water is spectacular. It's 90 degrees every day. The water is a cool 78 warm. Like
not exactly what I envision.
How about when the missiles are coming in?
Well, that's what I think about. And then he's talking about how just amazing it is. And it doesn't, because like you said, people are checking on him to make sure he's okay. He's having the time of his life over there.
Yeah, I
was blown away by this. Just because of what you see on TV and social media, it's pretty wild.
I don't know enough about the areas.
I don't either.
And it's hard for me to comment on that one. But by the way, he's not a four. He played last year in the NBA, Patrick Beverley.
Right, but I think he has now moved his career over there. Okay. I think he signed a contract. I think he's done in the NBA.
Oh, really?
I mean, listening to him, he was talking about the travel and what he's going to expect this year. So it sounds like he's signed up for there this year. Maybe not. And then we always talk about how relaxed everybody is with the way they talk. You had the caller that cursed on the air a couple of hours ago, maybe last hour. I present to you, not on the basketball court, but UConn head coach Dan Hurley at the White House with his team yesterday.
Yeah, I thought this would be easier in year two. Oh, man, I've been to the White House before. It is scary as shit.
My bad.
Stick to the script. All right.
Yeah, stick to the script.
There you go.
There you go. So yeah, very casual there in the White House as his team for the second straight year was honored as being national champions.
All right, thank you, Jerry. It is Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
Odyssey's 11th annual Weekend Survive returns to Prudential Center in Newark on September 28th, featuring performances by Justin Timberlake, Benson Boone, Khalid, New Kids on the Block, Tate McRae, and Isabella La Rosa. To buy tickets, go to Ticketmaster. And for more information, go to WeekendSurvive.com. As a part of Odyssey's I'm Listening initiative, Weekend Survive is a concert supporting mental health awareness, where a portion of proceeds will be donated to the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention.
All right, let me ask you a question. So, you know, walking around the newsroom, just checking things out. We got
newsroom.
We got a Pac-Man machine out there. I hear there's a Papa Shot that Jerry's all excited about somewhere. And then somebody decided to hang some magnet standings for all the professional sports boards out here on this hallway.
Yeah. I've seen it.
Oh, you've seen it.
I saw it this morning. I do think that those walls, something needs to happen on. I've actually had a conversation with the architect about that. I'm like, there's something missing here. However, those things that are on there now are bizarre and out of place.
All right, so I think those things look good. I don't want to kill whatever they are or wherever they came from.
Okay.
I gotta be very careful here.
Why?
It looks like somebody just decided to hang something on a wall, and they hung them up with a little nail, and they move. They're not really affixed to the wall, and they're too small for a wall that size.
Yeah, I don't know.
And it looks chintzy, it looks cheap, and it looks dopey.
Yeah, I agree. I mean,
who did this?
I don't know. Everybody seems to think Sal did it because he's got lots of child things, like child sports things in his home.
And he brought in those video games.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm not saying, I don't have anything against the, Al, maybe you can take a picture of these and we can send them to CBS.
Why do you keep saying I have nothing against them? You have to be careful. I mean, I don't understand. What are we being careful about?
I don't know
about?
If somebody sent them to that show, to the midday show or something. If I could give one of those to Casper when he's 5 years old,
yeah,
it would be unbelievable. And he would have it in his room and he'd be all about it. I get that. That would be great. This is a professional radio station.
Yeah, I see.
And
I'm not.
Whoever decided to do that
mm-hmm.
was not paying attention or just thinks that looks good.
Yeah, I'm not big on the whole I'm an adult and I'm attached to the child things vibe that's around here. You know what I'm saying? And listen, I like Sal a lot. He's one of my best friends in this business. He was a former roommate. But when it comes to that stuff, I could not disagree more. Like his office and stuff like that is like such a turnoff thing for me. Like when I see like here's a little game in the office to play or something like you're.
Well, Jerry's all excited about it, but that's fine.
But come on.
Office is one thing. That's his office. That's his domain. He should be able to do whatever he wants within reason. But hanging this stuff on this wall looks like nobody had any thought at all.
Yeah. Like, I've got in my office now that Martin Travers hooked it up for me. Like, I've got pictures of the show from moments that were important to me. I've got Jerry's calendar in there hanging up. I've got my Italian American Man of the Year plaque in there, like things like that. And I also have a pair of Vajankles that are in there. And I think that to me is more of a representation of an adult.
Right, a Vajankle, absolutely. That classes up any
right.
any place.
So that's why I think you go walk into my office, you're like, man, an adult works in this office, but you see some of these other offices with the Papa Shot, the pictures of baseball cards and stuff, I don't know, it's just a little bit of a turnoff, that's all.
Yeah, you see the wall next to Al, to the right of Al, we have the Hall of Fame jacket there signed by all the Hall of Famers that are in the photos.
Yeah.
You know, and it fits the wall and it gives Al some structure around him.
It's a beautiful frame.
And it's a gorgeous frame. I mean, that's the kind of thing that you would hang up out there, maybe if you wanted to do something. But that wall is too enormous. It needs wallpaper or a different color.
Yeah, something has to go up.
Multiple colors.
You got to take it in your own hands.
Do we have a design person around here?
Martin Travers should do it. But we don't have a design person.
I wonder if we have a design person at the radio station?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, we did, but they got fired in 1997.
Now, wait a minute. Time out. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of different colors painted around here. There's a lot of different. I know our studio is done by CBS Sports Network.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of our studio, in the hallways, on the doors,
Olive was very involved with that whole thing.
Yeah. See, look on CBS Sports Network. Look how good that looks next to Al.
Yeah.
Very professional, right, Al?
Yeah, very nice.
Now, did you send the picture of this hallway to Steven so he could put it up?
I put it up on Twitter.
Oh, you did? So they have to take it from Twitter as opposed to you sending it
directly. I could send it as well. We can do either. They're very quick either way.
Because I think this looks very unprofessional and it looks very chintzy.
Oh, it certainly is.
That's a word that I haven't used in a while. Chintzy.
There you go.
Chintzy. And it's going to bother you every time you walk by it until something is done about it.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I don't get it either, but this is what... There's a lot of guys in sports talk that just don't want to grow up.
I felt like I had... I think I had something like this from S&H Green Stamps that I got at, like, maybe Esso or Mobile or something.
English? S&H... What?
We had S&H Green Stamps.
Esso was Exxon before...
Or Exxon, Esso, whatever.
Right. Well, that was an older name.
Yes.
From the early
70s. But you remember the S&H Green Stamps. And you'd get a lot of those green stamps. You'd take them, and then you could get actual, like, a whole set of glasses that had the Mets logo on it.
Okay. Is this when polio was a thing, too? Or?
Yeah, probably.
What are we doing?
What do you mean, what are we doing?
That's what are you talking about?
Part of my life and memory. That's what I feel like these things are.
Okay.
I feel like if I'm a 10, 12-year-old kid, I want these
This is what I'm trying to explain to you. There are people in sports talk. We've got two of them here, specifically, and Evan and Sal, who are two very different people, but they are clenched on to their childhoods with a grip that they just refuse to let it go, and they have these memories of these things around, and it's... For people like me and you, it's like, I don't understand it. It's like enough.
But that is part of the charm of a sports radio station where you don't have to grow up. It's Peter Pan, the whole thing.
Yeah, I disagree.
I understand where you're coming from. Yeah. But that is also, for a lot of the employees in the programming department, that is a big deal.
Yeah.
I think it just looks like crap. That's all. It just looks like crap. It's totally unprofessional.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.